Hi, it's Dave. So the situation in Afghanistan is getting crazier and crazier every day. I'm sure you guys are following some of this stuff, but at the airport, this is yesterday, it's complete mayhem. And you have thousands and thousands of people just, you know, crowding, pushing, trying to get an opportunity and a chance. Supposedly even one person died just being crushed to death yesterday at the airport. And every day it's actually getting worse. And we also found out earlier this morning that there's been some evidence of ISIS having activity around the airport, and things are changing. It's making it a lot harder to evacuate people. Now, when I look at this whole Afghanistan issue, I think a lot of times it's easy to get overwhelmed or to get cynical. Like, hey, nothing I do can make a difference, so what the heck, right? This world is just messed up. But I feel like that's giving up. And for me, if I buy into that attitude of it doesn't matter anything I do, it's kind of game over. Why try with anything? I'd rather take the opposite approach where I'm like, okay, can I use creativity and wisdom to find some way to make a real difference, right? Even in the craziest of situations. And I want to bring it back to kind of one of these investing principles I have, which is kind of like a generational kind of investing opportunity. And I think sometimes there are certain things you could do that make a crazy generational impact. And one of those things is if you can actually have an impact on where a person and all of their generations live, right, for let's say hundreds of years, by making a small move or investment, that can have an outsized result. And when some of my YouTube followers and Twitter followers started contacting me with stories of family members being stuck in Afghanistan, it really hit me hard because I started to think, now, this is going to radically change the outcome of generations of people. And if I could do something, even if it's a small thing, that can help some people escape and change the trajectory of all of their generations after that, then that could be a huge, right, outsized, in a way, investing opportunity. Now, most of the families and people that contacted me who watched my channel, et cetera, they are part of an ethnic or religious minority and groups that will be likely very discriminated against, right, with the Taliban regime. And it's amazing just through this YouTube channel how many people are watching my channel and how many people have actually connections and family members in Afghanistan or surrounding areas. So what I want to do is I want to share kind of three things in this video. I want to kind of encapsulate what I'm doing and kind of my approach. So the first thing is kind of strategy. When I look at this past week, my whole idea was that, okay, let's do multiple efforts and focus on something that could work for these families, right? And I want to give you guys some background. So episode 411, so I interviewed some women in Canada. They're Afghan refugees living there who have their families and their entire family stuck, right, in Afghanistan, Kabul, and they don't know what to do. It literally at a loss. And I had that interview just about 3 or 4 days ago. Since this interview, I've been trying kind of multiple routes to try to help these families and some other families that have contacted me. So one of the families actually had an SIV application in. What that means is the U.S. has a special immigrant visa for those kind of who've worked for or have helped out the U.S. in the past. And I contacted a journalist to try to get this escalated, right, their application to the State Department. And after a couple of days, we actually got an email back from the State Department saying they flagged, right, this specific case application, but they're bogged down and overwhelmed. They don't know when it's going to be processed. And so that was tough, you know, not just waiting, but hearing back kind of this ambiguous answer. And then you've got this airport situation, right, which is worsening day by day. And we had the family actually go to the airport a few days ago, wait outside trying to get in, but they actually had no chance of getting into the gates. And we realized that this is like a very, very tough place. The other families I'm helping have contacted me. They're not eligible for the US SIV visa. And so we started looking to what other options they have. Some of the family members in some families have passports and visas, some don't. Some don't even have a passport at all, right? They just have the Afghan national ID card. And so we started asking around, and what's interesting is 95% or more of people were like, it's impossible, not possible. You can't leave. You can only go through the airport, et cetera. And the key is like, I'm like, I don't believe that stuff, right? Because when people say it's not possible, there's gotta be some people in certain situations that are making it happen. So I kept on asking. And I started to ask the question, how are some people actually leaving right now? And a part of that is because I've had a lot of experience in the past with refugee or crisis situations in countries. I remember back in 2001, I was like, found myself in Kosovo, like right near during the Kosovo refugee crisis. And I know and understand borders can be porous, right? I understand there's an underground economy too. Like, things don't work just like what it appears to be on the surface. There's a lot of things going on. And so kind of with this strategy of kind of like thinking outside of the box, let's find a solution that works. Can we help these families, right, get out in some type of safe way? All right, the second kind of big strategy was finding real-time information on escape routes. So I started to ask people, and the way I started to ask people was, if I found something on Twitter, I would DM the person or reply to them, and I would ask any person I found who was at the airport, right, or reporting at the airport or knows people, like, what's going on? I asked journalists and just other people, whoever. And the whole focus is like, what's going on real time on the ground, not hearsay, not secondhand information, but people who are there right now. And when I started to ask around, you know, I got the full picture, right, of what's going on at the airport. And then, and actually having one of the families go also helped. And then I started to ask around, like, hey, how are people getting out? Are there any people getting out at all? And I got a ton of mixed messages in the beginning. Most people are saying, oh, you can't get out, the borders are all closed, et cetera, et cetera. But I kept on hearing one border that was specifically open, and I started to DM people around that border. Anyone who posted anything, started to ask around, contacts, DMs, et cetera. And it was really fascinating because while there was a lot of information that it was closed, I started to get more and more confident sources who are just there, who are saying that it is open and people actually just with an Afghan, right, ID card can't cross that border. Now things change moment by moment, right? But I've had multiple sources by now say that this border crossing has been open even until this morning. I just got word this morning from that too. And I think one of the ideas is, you know, I've learned over the years, not just to believe what people say, no matter how sure they think, but rather I press it. I go, are you sure? Who told you? When did they tell you? Like, what are the facts? Like, when were they last there? I just press on all this information to see, like, really if they know what they're talking about. I'm looking for facts. I'm not looking for opinions, right? And a lot of people get those mixed up, especially in these, like, emotional times. All right, kind of the third kind of approach or strategy is, like, sometimes you need a big break. And sometimes, like, you need someone who can step up and just do something that is just really hard to do. And in this situation, I got a DM from a YouTube fan in Europe. He grew up in Afghanistan. He has family in Pakistan, and he was willing to help. And he connected me with one of his family members in Pakistan. And it was the most craziest connection I think maybe I've ever had. And this guy is turning out to be like a lifesaver. I mean, literally. He's been instrumental in not just finding on the ground information, but actually coordinating a series of transport and events to get these families from a certain destination to a certain safe destination out of the country. And it's been, a crazy process. And what's fascinating is this guy, it's not like it's his job. He's got his other job and he's doing it on the side. And yet it's become kind of like this full-time job or more, just helping these families in the past few days. Already, we've got four families that he's helping out, and two of them are en route and two of them are starting their route soon. Any moment right now, the first family, Fatima's family in the video, will be coming to the border, the land crossing, and we'll see if they're able to cross, which, you know, fingers crossed, but up until this morning, you know, we had information that they were letting people cross. But we'll get more information in the next probably 12 hours on kind of the first families, and then we'll see what the next two families, and there's a couple other families as well that I'm working with. Now, a lot of the challenging parts of this has been coordinating things and, you know, working out, for example, logistics, and even just like trying to get some initial funding out there. It's like, it's not cheap to actually get people across borders and transport and large groups. Some of these families have over 20 members, right? And we're talking about, you know, probably 50 or 100 people across probably five or six families. And this actually takes a decent amount of funds, and to coordinate cross-border transfer where there's like a lot of different details that I can't go into right now because it's in progress. But a lot of it has been, challenging, but something that, you know, you just gotta do. What's also interesting is there's some challenge in coordinating all of the messaging. So probably in the past like 4 days, I've had probably about 300 to 500 Twitter DM chats. Like, it's ridiculous. And dozens of Skype calls. WhatsApp is kind of tying the final pieces together with the people on the ground. So the contacts and the families actually moving It's like a whole fascinating coordination to hook people up, vet people. So one interesting thing is everything is done by trust. And nothing is done if you can't trust people. And that's where YouTube comes in. And Twitter too, is it's established kind of this relationship of trust. For example, you guys know me because like pouring out, you know, my life story and my daily thoughts and the stream of consciousness. And you guys have, and I have a connection with you guys as well, right? This is kind of like a family, a network. And this forms the basis of being able to help each other because there's a trust here. There's a relationship. And in that network, sometimes you find a person that just goes beyond the call of duty, right? A person who just like steps out, they're in the right place. And fortunately, we're able to find someone really at the last minute who was able to pull things together and actually provide the final kind of escape path out of the country. We'll see how it goes. Everything is day-to-day, moment by moment. It might not work out for everything. And there are family members that are still deciding what to do. Should they stay? Should they go, et cetera? And we can't control everything. I think some last thoughts are that, you know, when I think about all this stuff, sometimes I think like, yeah, you know, what if that was me or my family at some point in time where, you know, I got stuck, you know, or my family could have got stuck in a country. But I think on a different level, on a more kind of metaphysical level, I think in some ways, maybe we are all connected and so connected in a certain way that maybe actually part of me is actually there right now, you know? And my motivation isn't necessarily to, you know, do something good for another person, but part of it is intrinsic, where it's like, I fundamentally feel so connected to the people there that it's just something that I need to do. Anyways, I want to thank all of those who've reached out to me, DM'd me on Twitter, offered to help with funds. We've got over 50 people who've reached out with offers to help with funds together with me. And then we've got a bunch of people who are doing a lot of things. We have a team that is helping another organization kind of raise awareness on their web stuff. We've got just a bunch of different, you know, initiatives. I might not be able to reply to all of the messages because it's just been crazy. And every day, you know, like last night I was up to like almost 4 a.m. because there was just like almost 10 hours of nonstop like issues and coordination with like four or five different families going on. And it's so crucial. The next day or two is going to be so, so crucial for the families to make the right moves and to do it safely in the right way. And the last part is this border crossing that we're targeting. We're not sure how long it's going to be open until. It might close any moment. And when that happens, if that happens, it's going to be a different game. You know, I'm not going to say it's impossible completely to get out, but it completely changes the game of how to get out. So anyways, there's so many other things. I could go on for a very long time. But if you want to keep up to date, just go ahead, follow me at HeyDave7. I'll give some updates there. And wish you guys the best. And I'm very just honored to be part of this network, the relationships I have with you guys here. And it's definitely more than just, you know, a YouTube channel. I think there's something else going on. But good luck and see you soon.